We're going to be John chapter 1. And we're going to start off with verse 14 today. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The scripture says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. That's good right there, isn't it? Right? I want to start with a simple quote here from J.I. Packer. I thought it was good for me. Hopefully, it'll be good for you this morning. He says, "The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation." What's the incarnation? You guys, it is rainy outside and it's dim, and I can already tell we're all like a little chilled. We're kind of trying to get cozied up to someone sitting beside us, and we're getting ready to go night night. So hang in there with me this morning, all right? What's incarnation? Out loud, somebody help me out. What's incarnation mean? God in the flesh, right? And when you start to try to process what J.I. Packer here is thinking about, and we're going to see even in greater detail this morning, the creator of the ends of the earth needed to be held and needed to be fed. Right? Today we'll take a little time, and I want you to kind of meditate on some of these things about Jesus. What I would like to do, we're going to probably go maybe 6 or 7 weeks as the Lord allows into the book of John, and we're going to break up the book of John over the next few months with some other series. But in between, we're going to keep coming back to this gospel. And so this new series I've titled simply Believe, and we're going to look at the gospel of John. I think we need a good centering again on who Jesus is, what the story of the gospel is. It's stuff that most of you in this room today, you know by heart, but I think if it'll do what it did to me, it'll just refresh you and it'll cause you to want to worship the Lord even more. So hang in there with me as we make our way through the book of John. I think you will really be encouraged. Also, real quick before I forget, on Wednesday nights, we're going to start again the book of Galatians. We did this a few years back. And I think it's time again that we talk about no other gospel and that we really learn some truths again from Galatians. So you guys that can come, we'd love to have you there as well. Let's look in the book of John, and we're going to be in chapter 1, verse 1, and look at in the beginning. Real quick, some people do get confused a little bit. The book of John and the book of Revelation and the book of 1 John, none of those were written by John the Baptist. They were written by John the Beloved, okay? So we're going to see John the Beloved, one of the disciples of Jesus, refer to John the Baptist. So kind of like we have multiple Ricks and multiple Rays and multiple Dianes in our church, we got multiple Johns, okay? So you're going to have to kind of pay attention to make sure that you're following which John that we're talking about. John, the disciple of Jesus, is the one who wrote this gospel. And so we want to see what, from his perspective, what he would share with us today. Let's look first off in verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. And the scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Verse 5. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In the beginning was the what? The Word, right? The Word. What is the Word? Very literally, what is a word? What does the word word mean? See, you're going deep today, aren't you, right? What does the word word, what do words do? Words convey and they express ideas. So if John the disciple of Jesus says here that Jesus was the Word, very literally. I mean, some of you guys have maybe heard the word logos. We use the word logo all the time, right? A representation for your company is your logo, right? Well, here the word literally in Greek is logos. And the idea is it's a representation of God to us. Jesus expresses the idea of God to us in human form. And so John says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the expression of the idea of God to humanity. So because we know Jesus, we can know more about God. And I think this is always such a hard thing for us to comprehend. Hear me out this morning just a little bit. The scripture here, John says, Jesus was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. How many of you are really tied to time? Right? How many of you have to be a little bit early? There's a couple of you. How many of you have to be on time? How many of you don't care and you just be whenever you show up? In the beginning was the Word. Jesus, He exists outside of time. What? We have to relate to time, right? Because we're in this body, in this world, in this seasons, we relate to time. Jesus doesn't have to do that. He exists outside of time. I told you we were going deep this morning, right? In the beginning was the Word. Here's what I want you to see from the scriptures, what John reminds us, what he tells us, and we're going to see John's experience with the Lord that gives us real strong trust in John's Word. Before anything was, Jesus is. You didn't catch it, I don't think. Before anything was, Jesus, not was, Jesus is. What's different about Jesus, what's different about the Godhead, is there is no beginning to the Godhead. Everybody here, we had a beginning, right? And on earth, we will have an end, but what's awesome about our beginning is spiritually, it's begun and now we exist. Jesus has no beginning like we have a beginning. In the beginning, the Word was there. How far back can you go? Right? Well, I remember back to, I don't know, I could probably go back to like 76. I'd have been 5 years old. That's about when my memories probably start kicking. Maybe 75. Some of you, maybe those people like, I can remember when I was 4 months old. You ever met people like that? I'm like, oh boy, seriously? You probably all, some of you are probably like that. But what we find out here about the Lord was in the beginning, He was there. The Lord has always been. And I'm going to hopefully in a minute, I think it'll be an encouragement for you. In the beginning was the Word. As a matter of fact, He is the beginning of everything else. He's the beginning. You guys like beginnings? I do. For me, one of the best things about a good song is the beginning, because it just catches you, draws you in, right? The Lord is the beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word. The next thing we see that from John, he shares with us, and the Word, that being Jesus, was with God. And here's what, again, I want to remind you. This is not my words this morning. This is directly from the Word of God. The scriptures tell us that Jesus was with God at the beginning. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, if you want to turn over there in your Bibles, you're welcome to do that. It reminds us of this truth where the scriptures will state, let us. Look in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. Let us and are, right? What do you find right in the very first chapter of the book of the Bible? Jesus was there. He's always been. John says it. Moses writes it, and God testifies to it. The Lord Jesus has been. He has always been. Our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, though He was incarnated into a human body, was at the beginning. He was with God, and we will see in just a minute, he is the builder of all things. And that's one more reason we can put our faith in him, right? He's the beginning. He's been there since the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And here's a very, very important part this morning. The Bible then says the Word was God. Please listen to me this morning. We cannot overstate how important this is. Hear me today. There are so many religious and spiritual groups who will declare that Jesus was a good person, that he's a kind, compassionate person. He was a great teacher. Some will say he's an angel. If you go down the street to the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will say he was a God, small g, one of many other gods, little gods, but Jehovah's the big God. What I want to testify to you this morning from the scriptures, in not penology, what the Word of God says, the Bible says that Jesus was God. The Word was God. Jesus is Jehovah. There are some foundational truths in our church family, right? We call them the fundamentals, right? Usually we start off with this idea of the virgin birth. We can find out if people believe in the miraculous. We talk about the scriptures and if they're inerrant, if they're authoritative. We talked about the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. We talked about the reality of the fact that he literally died and that he literally rose again. And then we talk about the truth that he literally is coming again. Those are foundational truths, and they're all wrapped around this idea that Jesus is God. So if you're having a conversation with some people, one of the things you might want to ask them to determine where they're coming from, if they're talking about spiritual things, is, well, what do you think about Jesus? Do you believe he is God? If they answer anything but yes, you take nothing from their spiritual wisdom or advice because they are off track. The scriptures are clear. The Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was clear as it can be. If Jesus is God, then all of a sudden he can make claims on my life, right? Yeah. If Jesus is just a good person, well, that's great, but he didn't have any claims on my life. If he's God, then all of a sudden what he says is absolute truth, and then I'm going to find my best joy in him. If Jesus is God, he can rise from the dead. If Jesus is God and he says he goes to prepare a place for us, then there is a place that is waiting. If Jesus is God and he says your sins are forgiven, then there is no other name higher. You are forgiven if he is God. And John says he is God. Let that encourage you. People, that is truth. That's truth you can stand on. That's truth that you can comfort yourself in. That's truth that you can use to lift up other people and help them, those people that are broken and hurting. They can find the healing cure from heaven that God brings. But it only comes through him who is full of grace and truth. The Word is God. And then I love this phrase. The next one John writes, he says, and through him all things were made. I would tell you this morning, again, not in my own words, but the scripture's words. John tells us that Jesus is the creator of all things. He's the one who has made all things. Paul says it this way in Colossians. Again, if you want to turn to Colossians 1, you're welcome to. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and verse 17. Here we find not only is Jesus God, but that he is the creative agent of the Godhead. He is the one who is the builder who made all things. Paul writes in verse 16 of Colossians 1 and says, for in him all things were what? They were created. Things in the heaven, things on the earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and what? And for him. Woo, that's good too, isn't it, right? It's about him. Verse 17, he is before all things, sound familiar? And in him all things what? They hold together. Oh, I love this. Again, I'm not a scientist. Maybe Brother Todd can help us out here this morning. But I love to think of this idea of water and the things that make up water, it is H and 2 and O, right? Hydrogen and oxygen. And what keeps those things together? I'm sure there's some scientific incredible explanation, but I would tell you today what holds them together is Jesus. He literally is what keeps this whole planet together. If Jesus were to cease existing, this would all evaporate because he is the one that holds everything together. That's the Lord we serve. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really about to go off on you. I'm trying to be good. I know it's a crazy, gloomy day out there, right? The Lord holds everything together. And so when we think about when we're coming to the throne of God to ask help for a job, to ask help for our son or our daughter, to ask help as we go out in ministry, to ask help for emotional needs, we're going to the Creator that holds everything together. A little trying to figure out what I'm going to eat for tomorrow is not a problem to him. A little electric bill is not an issue to him. A little decision about which house I'm supposed to get, it's not a big deal to him. It's a big deal to us, but it's nothing to him because he holds it all together. And he invites us to go to him. Praise the Lord. That's who John is declaring to us is the Word, the Logos, the Jesus that we serve. And he is worthy of our worship. Not only has Jesus always been, and not only was he at creation, he is the creator. He holds it all together. And without him, everything would cease to be. And then John says, oh, this is so good. In him was the life, and that life was the What is life to you today? I've told you this before, right? It always sticks with me. When I was a kid, I had this shirt and it said, basketball is life. And the bottom says, the rest is just details, right? I probably still wore it even when I was out of seminary. I think I still had that ratty old shirt for a long time, right? Because I played basketball for hours and hours, right? What is life for you today? We could talk about our hobbies and our friendships and how we waste some of our time and the things we really enjoy. But I remind you today here that John says life is in Jesus. This morning we talked about and we said about holiness, that God would have us be holy. Why does God want us to be holy? Well, it's because he is holy, but it's also because holiness is health and life to us. Your best path is through submission to Jesus. He knows the best for you. And he is the life. He is what breathes into us that gives us all of the joy and the hope and the inspiration that we could ever have. Jesus is the source of all those things. And not only, again, is he the life, but he is the light coming from the life. What is light to us today? Been in the dark lately? You're a preacher. I mean, I hate to admit these things. I'm getting so old. But Wendy put in these little lights for Chief, our dog, before he passed away, so he could make his way through the hallway in the evening and then make his way to his water dish. And I got to where I really liked those things. Whenever it went dark outside and dark in the house, those little bitty night lights, they would keep you from hurting yourself. So I even put one in my bathroom in the night. So if I open the door, the light's already on. And it's not bright, it's just right. But it guides me where I need to go. Jesus is the light, and he guides us where we need to go. What else does light do? It brings us warmth, doesn't it? And comfort, right? And the Lord is the light in that way as well. It's discernment. It is hope. Light can be so much hope, can it, when you're in the dark places? I see a light. There's a possibility. There's an opportunity. Jesus is the life, and Jesus is the light. And quite literally, oh man, I got a song Ray and I need to sing one of these days. Jesus literally will be the light of heaven. What? I know you don't believe me. So turn to Revelation chapter 21 and we'll let somebody else speak it out. As a matter of fact, the same John who wrote Revelation 21 is the John who wrote John 1:1. And here's what John says in Revelation chapter 21. He said, verse 23, Revelation 21, he says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Jesus is the Lamb. The Lamb is the light. The Lamb is the lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Very literally, Jesus is the light of heaven. And so then I think this is where it gets really good to me. The light shined, where does John say? Shined in darkness, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You guys know that, right? Won't let Satan get out. I'm hiding under a bush. No! I'm going to let it shine. If you have ever been in a really dark place, how much light does it take to bring some discernment, some direction? Just the smallest little bit. What does the light do? Oh, I love this. The light pushes away the darkness. The darkness will not overcome the light. Oh, man, that is so good. Don't believe the devil's lies. When you walk with Jesus, you walk in the light, and the darkness will not overcome it. Right? Stay in the light. Real quickly, down to verse 6. I just want to make a quick note here. Again, this John now is relating to John the Baptist. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to that light. We're going to spend a lot of other time on John the Baptist in a few weeks here. But today I want you to be mindful of this, that John the Baptist came to be a light for Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 31, if you have your Bibles, turn there. John chapter 20, verse 31. And I want you to see why John wrote this book and why I've titled this series, Believe. John chapter 20, in verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Why did he write the book? That you might believe, right? That's why these stories are given. That's why we are working our way through this. So the simple question today that you need to answer, that you need to share with your friends and your coworkers and the people in your world is, do you believe? And through our belief in Jesus is how we find hope. Look down at verse 9. Again, continuing the idea here of the light. Verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus is the light. He, even though he is creator God and he came to into this world, what's John say about him? What did the world do when they saw Jesus the light? They didn't recognize him. As a matter of fact, he even goes on to say that his own did not receive him. Jesus came to the lost sheep of Israel, but they did not receive him. Instead, what did they do? They crucified him. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, Peter says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you what? Whom you crucified. Both what? This is so good. Lord and Messiah. The light came into the world. The world didn't recognize it. The author of light, the world didn't recognize it, that he was the light. He came to his own people. They didn't receive him. They crucified him. They were taking him out, pushing him down, sending him down the halls of history. But what did God do? God set him up both as Lord and Christ, Lord and Messiah. God said, it doesn't matter what you want to do. This is the plan. This is my son. He is the Lord. He is the light. And thankfully, some people did receive him. Amen? That's why we're here today. Some people that were not of natural descent of Abraham, said, I see the light. You're getting all these good old songs today, aren't you, right? Little Hank Aaron Jr., right? Is that a I saw the light, right? They literally saw the light that was Jesus, and because of that, they received him, believed in him, and their lives were changed, and our lives have been changed because they passed down that faith that was given to them. To this day, a few billion people have received that light. Twelve, one bad apple, 11, then they added another 12th one later on. 12 guys, they turned the world upside down because that was God's plan. And literally, billions of people have received the light. You crucified him. You tried to put him down, but the Lord has made him Lord and Messiah. Sorry. You don't get to choose. He is the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word is the life, and the Word is the light. How can you not worship him today? Amen. I'm just like, I'm ready to go home and worship the Lord. When you go home today, before you go bed tonight, what are you going to do? Praise the Lord. He's been here since the beginning. He knows what's best. He's the author of all things. He's the giver of life. He is the light for anyone who would receive him. And he is calling you to be part of his family. Worship the Lord and praise him. Praise the Lord. Again, how can we not worship him this day? Finally, verse 14, we see that John writes, "We have seen his glory." Oh man, I can't wait for to talk to John when we get to see him in heaven. John writes and he says, the Word, again, that being the Logos, that being Jesus, the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his what? His glory. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of two really important things, full of grace and truth. And so what I would tell you today is this verse here, verse 14, it lays the foundation for everything that is to come. The first thing is the Word became flesh. God became one of us. And I would tell you today, I can't explain it. Sometimes as Christians, I think you feel like we have to explain things, right? And so, somebody comes up to you and they ask you, but well, Brother Todd, tell me about the Trinity. You got that sorted out? And Todd says, oh, go talk to the preacher. I'll tell you, you come to the preacher's going to say, I know what the scriptures say, but I can't explain it. And here is the same truth that we started with in the very first paragraph of this message today from J.I. Packer. I can't explain the incarnation. That God would need a mother to feed him. It's incredible. But that also shows the extent that God loves us, that he would come to this place so that we could be redeemed. You are loved. Again, how can you not worship and praise the Lord when you go through the book of 1 John? The Word became flesh. We're going to see over and over in this book the humanity of Jesus. And that he literally was a human being, not just God. I'm so thankful that he came and that he became flesh. And then John says, we have seen his glory. And this is, again, blows my mind. John and Peter and James, when they use this phrase, we have seen his glory, they literally saw the glory of God on the Mountain of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus in a glorified form. And when Jesus rose again from the dead, they literally saw Jesus in a new body. It's one thing for us to talk about glory in spiritual terms. John's not talking spiritually. He saw directly the glory of the Word of God. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, the one who came from the Father. And so what we're going to see in the book of John is those things that remind us about his glory. John saw the water turn to wine. If I just saw one miracle, I think that'd be pretty awesome, right? Think about what the disciples saw. He saw the water turn to wine. John was there when Jesus walked on the water. When Peter got out of the boat, John was in the boat. John was there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Come forth. John was there. John was there when Jesus was transfigured. John was there at the cross. Jesus said, behold your mother. John was there and he saw the pain. He saw the suffering. He saw the death of Jesus, and John was with Peter when he saw an empty tomb. He was there. He says, I've seen the glory. You seen the glory? I haven't seen it. I've seen the evidence of it. John saw it. And he says, I'm going to lay out this book. And he says at the end of the book, there's so many more things we could write, and all the libraries of the world couldn't hold it. That's penology right there. And he says, I write these things so that you may believe, that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God. And by believing on him, you may have life in his name. Praise the Lord. We're going to be walking through this book, and you're going to see this miracle, and you're going to see that miracle. And you'll be like, oh, that's pretty awesome. But why? It reminds us that Jesus was God, and he became flesh. And that if we would believe in his name, we could be the children of God and have the life and the light that he brings. It will encourage your faith. It will cause you again to worship our Creator, our Savior, the Logos, the Word, the Messiah. We call him Jesus. I feel like I haven't even done justice at all this passage. But it is good, isn't it? At least you're getting that much of it, right? So do a little more digging, do a little more praying, and work your way again through that first part of John 1. Remind yourself of the Lord you worship and you serve, the Lord that saved you and delivered you, and the Lord that is redeeming and bringing all things to himself. And one day, all the nations will bow. That's the Jesus that John is talking about. I want to just close with this one simple quote, and it's such a familiar quote, but it's just so good, and I want you to think about it. I think it'll give you an opportunity to witness to people if you get in these kinds of conversations about, well, who is Jesus? It's from C.S. Lewis. Many of you know it, so familiar, but I just think it's an important thing for us to reiterate and to remember and to share. It's from a little book he wrote called Mere Christianity. He starts this way. He says, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, about Jesus. They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. Remember, Peter said, Lord and Messiah. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend. You've heard it, Lord, liar, and lunatic, right? That's where that comes from. Mm-mm. Jesus isn't just, he can't just be a moral teacher. He can't just be a good example, because he made claims that he was the Son of God. If he is who he said he is, then that's a claim against me that I have to make a very serious decision. Am I going to surrender myself to him and to his claims, or am I going to choose my own path to my own consequence? And that's the conversation we have to have with the people that we love. Never let anyone around you say, well, Jesus, he was a really good teacher. Hit them right away. Well, do you think he was God? It's like, no, I don't know about that. Well, then he must have been a horrible teacher, because that's what he said he was the Son of God. Amen? You guys, this morning, I just would encourage you. This is such a good book. And we're going to take time and be refreshed in some of the very basic truths of who Jesus is. But what I want you to do when you encounter these things is, I hope what it'll do is what it's done to me this weekend, it'll cause you just again to worship him. I know Jesus. He is the one true God. And I want to give my worship and my love and my life to him. Let's stand this morning.